Hi, I'm Janie Reisner, and welcome to Women's Voices. Hi, we've been listening to Dance, my CD from the Voice of the Mother. Before I introduce my guest, Vajra Ma, I'd like to play an 8-minute sound clip. I've been interested in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez and his programs of healthcare and education, free for everyone, might we all be so fortunate, along with making land available for people who had once stewarded that land and raised food, but were forced off by cruel dictators taking orders from you know who. A year ago or so, my guest was Lisa Sullivan from SOA Watch, a School of the Americas Watch, who has lived in Venezuela for many years, describing the long-deserved shift that is allowing people, women and men, to have a strong voice in determining what happens in their own communities, plus the opportunity and encouragement for all the people to be educated. So when I heard this bit of positive news regarding the status of women via WINGS, I wanted to share it with you.
Indigenous women are especially vulnerable in Latin America. Many don't have access to education, medical care, police protection, or transportation. But recently, there have been some legal and cultural advances for women in Venezuela. That's according to Indigenous health organizer and journalist Hayariu Farias. She spoke at the 2010 U.S. Social Forum in Detroit, Michigan. She said President Hugo Chavez has initiated some of these judicial protections, But women in Venezuela are the protagonists of change in their own lives.
Many women from my community have been domestic workers. But in the last 11 years, with the revolutionary transformation process, the consciousness of women has grown tremendously. And nowadays, it's very unusual to find why you women who continue to work as domestic workers because they are too busy. They're very involved in the political transformation process. They've really gotten to know themselves as women, and they have found themselves to be tremendous leaders. And now we are the ones who run the communities. Men have felt like they have so much rights and privilege. They felt even that they had the rights to steal our dreams. And they try to put obstacles.
Y luego la respuesta, por supuesto, es la violencia.
And sometimes respond with violence.
Sin embargo, en Venezuela,
and we have made enormous judicial advances in terms of defending women against violence, domestic and other forms of violence, and it's really made changed the situation.
Un marco jurídico que protege a la mujer.
And we consider in the laws defend women against both physical and psychological violence. It would have been inconceivable several years ago for a woman to be able to take her male partner, to take a legal action against her male partner for verbal abuse, verbal aggression, saying that she's worthless, that she's stupid. That is now against the law in Venezuela.
Y ahora la mujer puede ir y denunciar todas esas.
So traditionally, those of us who have worked on this issue, traditionally we've said to women historically, someone that mistreats you in any way does not deserve to be with you. Now we have a legal backing for that. And one of the ways that we're formalizing the work around women is to have created a ministry for women's issues.
Y el ministerio.
And this ministry has a number of different institutions with specific focuses that are related to it. And we as indigenous women also have a specific office for our issues within the women's ministry and a women's office within the indigenous ministry.
Además de eso, se han creado.
There are special courts that have been created to hear domestic violence cases, not only to protect women victims of domestic violence, but also to children that are involved in the family. And so not only now are men being sent to jail for domestic violence, but there's also an integral therapy treatment for women and children victims of violence.
Pero además, en cada una de las comunidades,
and we are looking at ways also to work with women in raising their self-esteem and finding a lot of success in this work that women, when we can help improve women's self-esteem, they get involved in other productive, in the society in a productive way, but that also we need to continue to work with men addressing violence in other ways. Because we have a tremendous, a very strong legacy of machismo, sexism, that we are dealing with.
Y me impresiona mucho.
I've been to some of these, to some of the workshops, the self-esteem workshops with women, and oftentimes the therapist or the psychologist will say, well, women are also responsible for perpetuating sexism within the family, and this is like really shocking to women.
Que tenemos que darle a nuestros hijos una educación.
That we are also responsible for raising our children in a way to respect women and respect equality.
Y toda esta capacitación, pues, ha incidido.
That women's role and women's participation has advanced greatly across the country, and in many of the most important positions in the country, in ministries, etc., are now held by women.
Nuestra ministra para pueblos indígenas también es mujer.
Our minister for indigenous affairs is a woman.
Sí, ciertamente aún hay realidades.
So we have a lot of challenges before us, but we're also making great advances.
Porque en nuestros pueblos es muy difícil.
Because for women to participate, it's a challenge, even to come to a forum like this, because women carry the weight of the household.
Pero tengo mucha esperanza en que esto
But I have a lot of hope that this will continue to change because we are already in a different situation as women.
Y la mayoría de la
and the majority of the community organizations and now the community councils, which is a new form of grassroots political organization in Venezuela,
están liderados por mujeres.
Are being led by women.
Entonces, bueno, son realmente unas super mujeres.
So they're like super women, all of them. They get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, feed their kids, take their kids to school, come back to the house, feed their husbands, go to work, and then take on the leadership roles in the political transformation of their communities and the political organizations.
Y hace algunos meses.
To give you an example how we're starting to feel that power is really going to the people in Venezuela and coming to women.
Unas mujeres,
and one of the examples to show how women are feeling like they can take on more power, they were building a new factory of an aloe plant, like an aloe bottling plant near us, and a group of women went to the plant and said that if with their extra profits they should build a little chapel to worship a local virgin that the women in that region are devoted to.
La empresa
and the company was about to leave the town and without having built the chapel because they said they had no money left.
Y ellas cada una agarró
and so a large group of women each took a virgin and went to the company to protest.
Y lograron que se le construyera su capilla muy rápido.
And they quickly had their chapel built.
Es una muestra de...
Okay, well, that's kind of good news, isn't it? It's really amazing to think that, I wonder how often this really happens, but that a husband who speaks poorly to their mate or partner, there's a law against that, which is really wonderful. I can't imagine. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that here? Hidden just beneath the surface of our experience, there flows a living stream, untainted by the poisons of fear, ignorance, and greed. Though deliberately erased from view for the few millennia called history, this stream cannot really be eradicated because it is the source of everything, often also named the animating force of the cosmos. To those who let themselves feel it, this hidden stream is a visceral reality, and to those who shed the blinders of materialistic indoctrination, it is visible in everything. The tantrics of yogic science call it Spanda. In the ancient Indian tradition of the Divine Mother, it is called Shakti, the feminine power. It is the oldest spiritual lineage on earth, humanity's more than 200,000 years of universal reverence for the source of life, the great cosmic mother. Though forgotten for millennia, deliberately erased from our memories and our history from generation to generation, this stream exists. Though hidden, it cannot be removed because it is reality. Though hidden, it is not far. We have only to turn our gaze inward, focus, and release ourselves into this stream. Thus writes my guest Vajra Ma in her book, From a Hidden Stream, The Natural Spiritual Authority of Woman. Vajra Ma founded Women's Mysteries of the Ancient Future Sisterhood in 1989. She is a priestess, educator, sacred dancer and performer, and a shamanic healer. Designing and facilitating women's rituals since 1986, she has integrated goddess knowledge and feminine spirituality with experiential body wisdom, the conscious awareness of subtle body energies, to forge Woman Mysteries of the Ancient Future Sisterhood, a modern mystery school and priestess lineage based in the tantric dance of feminine power. Her Red Door training in her Woman Mysteries Priestess Lineage is an accelerated path of power into this unique synthesis of elements. She is featured in Daughters of the Goddess, Studies of Healing, Identity, and Empowerment, an anthology of women's spiritual work in America, and her work has been the subject of scholarly papers presented at national conferences on religion. She holds ministerial credential through the Temple of Diana, Madison, Wisconsin, and has an extensive background in dance studies and theater arts. She teaches with warmth, humor, and a bedrock compassion. She resides in Sunny Valley, Oregon, with her husband, Wolfgang, and their various dangerous pets. Welcome at last, Vajra.
Thank you. Thank you, Janie.
It's lovely to have you.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. The question, how did your own mother influence you to become the woman that you are today?
Well, that's a really potent question, and you told me you'd be asking me that, and I've been thinking about that. And my mother, like most women today, well, I'm 60 years old, so my mother in her day, you know, she was born in 1920. She grew up in the patriarchy. She didn't have the knowledge or the empowerment to get me on the path that I'm on now. But what she equipped me with was love. She was a good mother. The more I hear about other people's mothers, you know, who have grown up in the patriarchy, I hear a lot of horror stories, and I see that my mother was an especially good mother, very loving, very patient, and gave me a grounding that, you know, in that love and that nurturance, that she was not an abusive mother. And so she gave me that base, that foundation. And she, along with my father, they both supported me in whatever I wanted to do. And when I wanted to go into theater, they supported me in that. When I wanted to become a Mormon, they let me do that. Warned me a little bit that they're very cliquish. I said, well, I know that. So they always supported me, and it gave me moral support and financial support when I needed it, too. So I had a good foundation that way. My mother was warm and loving, and I feel that I was imbued with that myself. And that's the greatest gift my mom gave me.
Could you talk about your journey?
Well, I grew up, you know, like I grew up as an Episcopal. In speaking spiritually, you know, I was an Episcopal. I was the last person in my family to continue to go to church. When I was 14, I was going by myself. I always had a spiritual bent, willing to do the quote-unquote right thing. When, at the age of 19, I went into a very severe emotional mental crisis and was healed overnight through a born-again Christian experience, a very direct experience with Jesus as I understood him at that time. So shortly after that, I went into the Mormon church, and I was a devout Mormon for 11 years. And people that know me now can't put two and two together. They just can't see it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it was a real haven for me because of the community, the people, you know, the social interaction, and also the sense of security and thinking that you have the truth. You know, that sense of certainty, right?
Right.
Yeah. And
all the other people are wrong.
Yeah, right, exactly. Us and them. And I lived very much in that, and I needed it, and it was very healing for quite a while. But you need to grow beyond that, and I did. And I found myself becoming very depressed when I'd go to church after being a member for about 11 years. And I really couldn't put my finger on it, but one day I was standing at my window in my house, and I'd really battled a lot with depression, as many women do. I had been depressed since I was 15 years old, went through that crisis at 19, and did a lot of healing after that. But it was a slow process of healing and really taking responsibility for my emotions. Even though I had a miraculous healing at age 19 through my Christian experience, still you have to work these things out on a real tangible day-to-day level. And I learned at some point how to begin to take responsibility for my emotions and not just spiral down into this huge funk, right, this dark pit. I don't like to use the word dark, it's pejorative in that, so I would just say this empty pit of depression. But still, I had learned to take responsibility. So I was sitting at my window one day, and I posed the question inside myself, what do I need to do? I was still a Mormon. What do I need to do to continue to cultivate this emotional responsibility and this bringing myself out of depression? And I got a very clear answer, Janie, in words. just clear. It said, stop going to church. And now I have to backtrack a little bit and say that while I was a Mormon, I had a particular experience, a real spiritual crisis, where I had to face, and I that's too much to go into right here to explain it, but I'll just say in a nutshell, I had to choose between spirit and heart and my mind, my intellect, what it was telling me. And I couldn't reconcile the two. I had to, it was a real deep crisis for me. It, you can, it's like a Christian realizes that maybe they're wrong or, you know, they think the devil's tempting them. You, that whole black and white thinking, I had to get past that and really affirm and trust my inner voice. And even if it didn't mesh with the dogma, even if it meant I wasn't obedient, okay? And that's a really hard thing for a person who is really trying to do the right thing and believes in dogma and believes that their church is true and tries to live the commandments and all that sort of thing, that patriarchal religion, right? And I had actually gained that inner voice through a real difficult experience when I was a Mormon. So when I, later when I stood there, towards the end of my Mormon years, when I stood there and I asked that question to myself, I trusted that inner voice. I had already gained that. I'd already earned that, and I did not doubt it. I knew that, you know, stop going to church. It didn't make sense to me because I still believed the Mormon church was, quote-unquote, the true church, right? But I stopped going to church, and I could not reconcile, you know, not going to church when I still thought it was the true church.
Right. I'm going to interrupt you a little bit because our time is slipping away, and I really do want to get onto your book. So,
yeah, let's
so,
do it.
So if we could do that, yes, that would
and,
be
and
great.
And I think that that experience, though, is the root of spiritual authority. That's
yes.
a personal spiritual authority.
Absolutely.
We're going to go now into, you know, the spiritual authority of woman as a collective.
Yes.
Yeah.
How wonderful that the universe gave that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we all have to grow up spiritually and really trust our own inner voice.
I know.
And women, this is what we need to do as women. We have a history, getting now into the natural spiritual authority of woman, we have a history. The natural spiritual authority of woman is historical. It's not some idea. It's a phenomenon that has, you know, that is grounded in reality and grounded in history before patriarchal intervention.
Yeah.
Women were the spiritual leaders. Women were the original shamans.
Of course. I'm going to just interrupt one second.
Okay.
Just say, this is Janie Reisner. You're listening to Women's Voices on KZYX. I'm here with my guest, Vajra Ma, and we're speaking about her, going to be speaking about her book, From a Hidden Stream, The Natural Spiritual Authority of Woman. And you say woman.
Yeah, woman, because our authority is as a collective. It is also individual because, of course, everything is lived out individually. But it's not that an individual woman has authority over other people. It's that the collective consciousness of woman is a whole different animal than the collective consciousness of man, of the male, especially as the male is today and collectively and having cut himself off from woman. Okay. So it's something that... We feel, you can feel it when you get together as a group of women, how we function, how we work as a unit, or we work together. And there's a deeper mind, especially when you're doing ritual as women. You get into a sacred circle, and there's a deeper mind, a deeper wisdom that we can tap into and amplify for each other. So it's a collective wisdom. And then each woman tapping into that can be the spiritual authority in her life, and in her family, and in the community, you know, as a leader.
Right. On page 3 in your book, the basis of women's natural spiritual authority. Would you read that?
Sure. Though my personal path is goddess-oriented, woman's natural spiritual authority can operate and has operated both within patriarchal religion and outside a religious context altogether. Some of the women's stories shared in this primer will illustrate this. The dynamics of woman's natural spiritual authority are based in nature, in reality, and they are universal to woman, regardless of belief systems and societal constructs, thus the word natural. And herein lies its tremendous power to, quote, save the world, unquote. The reader can rest assured that seeing validity in the information presented here does not require a conversion to any particular spiritual path or viewpoint. We do not need to construct new governments, institutions, bureaucracies, nonprofit organizations, belief systems, cultures, and religious dogma, nor do we need to destroy the old. We merely need to wake up to reality. The rest will follow. Right action arises with stunning alacrity and accuracy when reality is the inspiration.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd like to read the next paragraph.
Sure.
The spiritual and this is so important. It all is. The spiritual and the physical are not separate. In reality, we do not experience a split between the physical and the spiritual, between divine versus natural. Neither reality nor human experience provide for such a dichotomy. It arises only with the advent of patriarchal religions, which are based on the artificial doctrine of separation. In fact, far from being separate, it is from the nature of the female body, which encompasses woman's power to create life, that a cascade of inseparable emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual dynamics unfolds naturally and spherically. This is the basis of women's natural spiritual authority.
Mm.
Do you want to go on with the matrix of women's natural spiritual authority?
The matrix of women's natural spiritual authority. This primer will provide insights into the reality that evolutionarily and historically, women are the creators of humanity. This goes beyond the mere physical, but encompasses the cultural, the artistic, and most of all, the spiritual. For millennia, woman was the spiritual authority of humanity. This is historical fact. It is only in the past 6,000 or so years of recent humanity that myth and propaganda has attempted to turn this upside down and backwards. We see that the scope of riches that evolved from woman as the creator of humanity is a natural extension of woman's relational power in birthing, protecting, sustaining, teaching, and guiding her children. Humanity. Humanity is her child, and as she holds her child in her arms, she is the creator and first teacher of humanity. This includes women who do not have physical children. And as there is no true separation between the spiritual and the cultural and the artistic, that teaching embraces all. We will see the historic reality of woman's natural spiritual authority. We will recognize women as the original shamans, as priestesses, midwives, healers, curanderos, devadasis, the mothers, wise women or witches, holy women, tantrikas, tribal queens, and leaders. And as the image unfolds of natural spiritual authority, we will discover how it differs from the imposed and enforced dogmas and doctrines of the patriarchal paradigm. Because what grows naturally based in woman's natural spiritual authority is love, protection, nurturance, and guidance of the life she has created, not only for the physical children she has created in her body, but for all life, for her own motherhood is embedded in a vaster motherhood of earth and the cosmic womb.
Beautiful.
Doesn't it feel good to hear that stuff?
Because
that's
yes,
the truth, and where do you hear it?
Does. No, we never get to hear it. Well, this is really, you're speaking, I mean, these are teachings from the temple, really.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, we seldom get to hear.
And these are teachings that come, women know this, and men know it, too. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
really do. And they can participate in it in Mother Mind, what a Zulu healer, Credo Mutwa, calls Mother Mind, which means to feel the world.
Mm.
Feel the world. And if you feel the world, you can't hurt it, you can't rape it, you can't pollute it. You know, you love it. And so men participate in woman's more natural propensity to nurture and create. by, you know, moving into the mother mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exclusive of men. They can do it. It's more natural for women, especially as a collective. Yeah.
Because we're closer to it.
Yeah, right.
Inside, yes.
Mm-hmm. And one, the main thing is that as women, you know, we have a womb. And it has the power to create life, but it's also a spiritual creator. It's in menses, when we descend into menses each month, we literally, our chakra spins a different direction, and we're kind of pulled down and in into the inner world, into more subtle energy. And that's a spiritual portal. Because we're more psychic, we need more dream time, and we are able to pull through vision. And women have done this for centuries. The women in Gabon, Africa, still go out in the forest and stay there together for a month and bring back the vision that they've gotten for the president of Gabon, and he listens to them. And they've been able to stay out of war, according to Bernadette Ribineau, one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers. So this shamanic descent that woman does every month, this is part of our power. It's part of our capacity to bring through the wisdom. And we need to cultivate that individually as women and come together in groups and restore the Moon Lodge, or the Red Tent now, the Red Tent Movement, as it's called, that it's going across the country and around the world, reviving that women's mysteries through the blood time.
Really? Is this really happening, that women are gathering together during their menses in...
Yes.
In Lodge? Wow.
Yeah.
And how do they have their menses coordinate? How do they happen to do it together? Are they all living under the moon without a natural light? Or?
Good question. I mean, you know, women also do moon lodges when they're not all together bleeding at the same time, because we're not living together. If we do live together, you know, in the same space, we do synchronize. We know that. Women honor that by coming together and sharing those teachings. And if you have women that you're close to, you might get into sync together, and you could come together and really, it would be wonderful if we really did this en masse.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And you bring, because we amplify each other. And we can bring through pictures of how to heal. Inspirations that we might not get otherwise. This has been the source in the past, and we can do it again. We can do it individually, and we can do it, you know, collectively.
I'm going to read a little bit here on natural. A life-giving source authors life naturally. A life-giving source authors life naturally. Authority thus is an inherent part of life-giving, of authorship. There would be no life without it. After all, authority, it is not at all an artificial, abstract imposition on the freedom of others. Authorship is where life comes from. The best pattern for authority in nature is its fundamental manifestation in mother and offspring. It is not imposed, and it never really ends, but expands into being an integral part of the experience of life. Mothers lead their baby, cub, kid, foal, or calf through the early formative processes of life. For good reason, one of the oldest epiphanies of the goddess is the lion. She is an incomparable mother, protector, and provider. The lioness who creates her cubs is supremely responsible to them. She protects, guides, warns, and set limits. And these limits, warnings, and guidelines are not arbitrary or artificial, not abstract concepts separated from reality, and they are not self-serving for the insular benefit of the lioness, but are in direct, intelligent relationship to reality. The lioness mother provides food, guards against predators, and knows when to hide or run for safety. The mother exercises the authority over her offspring not in an ego fest of domination, but on their behalf, in service to them, in natural interrelationship with them. The babies know this, and their response to her authority is the very thing that enables them to survive and mature into adulthood. The same is true for a woman and child and her responsibility to care for that child, including the additional human dimensions of emotional, mental, and spiritual maturation. This is natural, and there is nothing as natural as this. Of herself, in a woman and child supporting culture, no woman would relinquish or neglect her child, let it be whisked away to undergo any number of unnecessary, alienating, and traumatizing procedures. Naturally, a mother nurtures, protects, and teaches. As such, woman has authority over that child, a natural authority born of her responsibility for the life of that child. There is no separation. There is no, I want a child. I'm going to get myself a child, and then I'm going to do something with it and to it, and then I'm going to go on with my life. Woman is mother, and mother is much more than breeding, but all life and death encompassing. Yes.
Yeah. The natural spiritual authority is embedded in the matrix of life relationship. It's about responsibility and relationship, and that's what authority is about. You know, you don't separate it out, and it's the natural part of responsibility and creation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Janie Reasoner. I'm here with my guest, Vajra Ma. Speaking about her book, From a Hidden Stream, The Natural Spiritual Authority of Woman, and you say a primer for the future of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed it is. This is what we need to get.
We do. And I want to say to women, Janie, you know, we need... It's not easy, but you can get there to just really claim this unapologetically. We do not need to apologize, and we don't need anybody to approve. We don't need anybody outside of ourselves. We simply sit in this natural spiritual authority and claim it. It is self-referenced, and by being self-referenced means you go in deeply into yourself. It doesn't mean you cut yourself off from other people. It means that you go into source within. And when you do that, you know you have tremendous respect and relationship with everything else around you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a deeply connected authority.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had a little story here, which I can't seem to find, but...
I'll bet I can find it if you tell me what it is.
Well, you can just probably tell it to me. It's a little story about a woman whose husband wanted to circumcise their child, and she didn't. And
oh, yes. It's towards the beginning. It was Krista Bremer in Sun Magazine. It's a very poignant story. She was married, an American woman, married to a Muslim man who was Muslim by culture, but not really by religion. He even was like a champion of his sister's rights, you know, and that sort of thing. But when it came down to his son being born, he wanted his son circumcised. These cultural things go so deep, right? He wanted his son to look like him. And she didn't want that to be done to her son. Her whole body, her whole being, just like, no. She didn't want her son to be cut, to be hurt, to go through that pain, to go through that trauma. She knew instinctively. And she tried all of these ways of convincing him, with scientific information or this information or that information, but nothing worked. And so she relented and she let it happen. And what she didn't do was simply go to her natural spiritual authority, which was talking to her the whole time, and just say something like, no, this child, this young boy was created in my body. He came out this way, and his body will stay this way.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been natural spiritual authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the thing of it is, we don't have that consciousness to fall back on. We don't know the words to say.
Right.
But boy, if we hear them, we will know, and it only takes once of hearing it, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is this phrase, this actual phrase, the natural spiritual authority of woman, I was walking on the goddess path for 18 years before I thought of it. I'd heard female spiritual authority. I know Vicki Noble had written about that, but something about the natural spiritual authority of woman suddenly made this whole cascade of connections in my mind. And it's really an anchor for us.
Mm-hmm.
When you name it, you name something, you know, it can really be a foundation and a springboard and an anchor and a shield and all kinds of things like that.
Right.
So I just really encourage women to say, you know, really think about this. My natural spiritual authority. And sit with that and feel into that.
That's right. You have to feel it.
Yeah.
And trust it.
Yeah.
Trust the feeling. Although outside of us doesn't support that very much.
Yeah. And it's instinctual in a very deep way, in a way that's connected with life, not in some lesser way, you know, that logic and intellect is superior to. No. It's a felt thing, and we don't need to apologize for it. We don't need to prove it to somebody else. Okay. Just sit in it and stand in it and speak from there.
Yes. I promised that we could have call-ins.
Mm-hmm.
So how about I open up the phone lines?
Great.
If anyone would like to call in, it's 937-5103. If you're out of the list area, it's 707-937-5103. And speak with Vajra Ma. We haven't talked about the dance at all. And
right.
And so let's talk about that.
Okay. The Tantric Dance of Feminine Power is a moving meditation modality that I've developed since 1992. And it's there's a lot of things out there now called tantric dance, and this is distinct. So it's not a lot of the things that are out there. It's not the classical tantric dance of Nepal, and it's not a lot of the neo-tantra things that are going on. This is a very deep devotional practice, and it's a spontaneous moving meditation whereby a woman learns and cultivates the capacity to connect to her womb, very sensorily, very, very deeply, very tangibly, and allow movement, movement that is naturally pleasurable. Any movement is really naturally pleasurable. Allow that movement to begin to shape the body, and let there be a devotional intention in the heart to open. It's really praying through the body. It's communing through the body. It affects the chakras. It's really learning to, it's a subtle body practice. It's very deeply referenced within, and it's learning to feel the subtle energies of the body, the thousands of nadis that move through the body, you know, the currents of energy, to feel those as the real fundamental tremoring vibration of Shakti, the power of creation. The portal into it is pleasure. And I don't mean necessarily sexual pleasure. It's any kind of pleasure, moving the arm, feeling a shape, the skin pulling, the head tilting, the subtle energies vibrating in the body. That's the moment we come to that with pleasure and a sense of reverence, that this is the Divine Mother playing in us. It is the embodiment of the Divine Mother. Subtle energy is the Divine Mother. And when we come to it with that respect, your body's knowledge starts to wake up. Everything's enfolded into the body. This is the tantric teaching. You know, it's all, our body's a microcosm of the macrocosm of the cosmic knowledge. And so you can have all kinds of epiphanies in this moving meditation, understandings and awakenings and spiritual experiences and spiritual workings, healing, purification. It's like dreaming. But it's through movement. Does that make sense?
Yes, sounds wonderful.
I
moved around the living room the other day trying to imagine what the movements might be like.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's the underlying quality of it is serpentine, the fluidity of the body, the fluidity of the spine. And it's one of the most important things about it is to continually absorb the pleasure and absorb what you're feeling inside. So it's not that you're trying to get a release or you're externally focused, but it's like the inner energies are making love to you. It's really like making love, or the universe is making love to you, and you're making love to the universe. And one of the analogies I like to make is it's like sort of like a Tai Chi, but a Tai Chi that's very fluid and sensual and spontaneous. And it's like smelling a million, the condensation of a million jasmine blossoms, what that would do to you, right? It would just intoxicate you, make your head spin. That's what it's like.
Really? That sounds wonderful.
The worst things have happened.
I bet. You tell me your website and tell me you also, you teach in Oregon where you are, and then you, and you have created a temple there, and you, you and your husband, is that correct?
Uh-huh, yes.
So talk about that, and then you go to Orange, California, where there is another temple, and you...
Yes, yes, okay. Well, my website is greatgoddess.org. That's pretty easy to remember, www.greatgoddess.org.
Uh-huh.
And I have some articles there about the tantric dance and about the priestesshood and some of the other priestesses that are in the lineage, and then also information on that website about the Southern Oregon Temple of the Goddess, which my husband and I founded about 3.5 years ago. And we meet once a week, and it's, you know, a simple service of devotion, candle lighting, a message about the goddess, and a meditation that takes you deeply into your own inner wisdom.
Mm.
And we also have a jewel of the lineage of woman that we honor each week. I research a woman, past or present, to whom we honor for her contribution to humanity. And some of those stories are in my book, The Natural Spiritual mm-hmm. Authority of Woman, stories about how women who have lived natural spiritual authority. I give some examples. And they're part of the jewels of the lineage of woman. And then I go down to Irvine, California, to the Goddess Temple of Orange County, founded by Ava Park, about 8 years ago. And it was there that I got the inspiration, when I was living in Southern California and attending her temple, I got the inspiration to create one when I moved up to Southern Oregon. I moved up here in 2005. And I kept feeling that this is an important bridge to mainstream, to women who are more mainstream, who are not in feminist spirituality, who are not doing ritual, but who could come to a church, more like a church service, and find that, you know, a bridge to the goddess and to their own mm-hmm. inner connection mm-hmm. there. So Ava inspired me with that, and I made the temple here in Southern Oregon based on her template of her. It's evolved since then and changed a little bit, but she's been a great inspiration to me. And as the temple down there in Irvine, California is, of all places, okay, that's Republican territory. It's
right.
conservative land.
I know. It's kind of unusual.
Very unusual. And but she's done it, and they have 3,000 square feet down there, and they have a lot of visiting teachers and activities that are happening there and weekly services.
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
really, it's very active.
Very active, yeah.
We don't have enough time.
I know, there never is. Yeah.
No, it goes very quickly. But I just thought this was so, I was so touched by it when I read it. We know today that every egg that a woman will ever have in her ovaries is fully formed while she is a fetus in her own mother's womb. Everyone was once in their grandmother's womb.
Yeah.
Everyone is twice imbued with the vibration of a mother's heart, as depicted also in the statue of Grandmother Anne, Mother Mary, and Jesus. This is the psychological reality. It requires no mythology, no threat of withholding to be enforced or upheld. It was such a wonderful feeling to realize that I had that connection with my grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the lineage of woman. It loops back, it connects. And there is a saying in Africa, the grandmothers are the root of the nations. But, it's wonderful. We felt our grandmothers, we were surrounded by her heartbeat and her vibration imprinted in us. Yeah.
Lovely. Lovely. Yeah. The phone number here is, if you wish to call in, is 937-5103. I'm here with my guest, Vajra Ma.
I'd love to hear from somebody.
Yes, yes. Question. Where are you? They're out there.
Yeah.
Come on, call in.
I do want people to know that I teach the Tantric Dance of Feminine Power, and I do up in Seattle, and I'm available to travel, and love teaching it. And so, you know, if a woman is interested, she can contact me, and I can I can go to where she is.
Thank you.
Here we have a group of women.
We have a call. Here we go.
Oh, good.
Good evening. You're on Women's Voices.
Hi. I was wondering, how does the vibration of your grandma come through if you don't get along with your grandma? I mean, I love my grandma, but, you know,
You're
very different and feel very connected to my mom, but me and my mom kind of, you know, we're into spiritual stuff, and my grandma really isn't. And she's,
Right.
But I love her, though. She's sweet, though.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the basic gratitude for the fact that, you know, she harbored you in her womb, just that basic and that going to the essence of what she is as a woman and as a woman who gave birth to your mother.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah,
because my grandma has some, she's kind of sexist against other women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard. She has that training kind of ingrained in her, and she's really sweet in a lot of ways. So there's a lot of that kind of...
Well, see, and it shows, too, that we can evolve and we can break that chain, because you said, you know, your mother has broken that chain, and so have you. You know, of that being patriarchalized and being turned against women, because that's one of the main things that patriarchy does, is it dismembers us from each other.
You know, this is a wonderful phone conversation. I'm going to have to end it because we're running out of it. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much. We love your show. Me and my boyfriend are listening.
Well, bless you. Thank you.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too.
Great.
If someone did want to reach you and was interested in your teaching, how would they do that?
They could go to my website, www.greatgoddess.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also on Facebook, Vajra Ma.
Okay.
And my phone number, I'm happy to give my phone number out.
Well, quickly.
Okay, it's 541-292-6310, 541-292-6310.
It's been wonderful having you. I'm so sorry that this time has gone. We must do this again because
it's always so short. Yeah,
we just really got into it, and that's it. Thank you for all that you do, and for all that you're creating in the world, and for creating this wonderful primer. That's very important.
Thank you, Janie. Thank you for having me here.
Yes, indeed. Good night.
Good night.